Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. We once again want to thank all of you that are tuning in, those of you that will be tuning in. Thank God for our panel. We give God glory and honor for Elder Oliver and his wife and family for this panel, for this opportunity to be able to spread the gospel all over the world, Blog Talk Radio. Once again, we're here and we're live tonight. We got a new saint on the panel, and we are breaking them in, kind of throwing them in the fire. This is several of their first time doing something like this, and I just thank God for them being willing and obedient. To what we ask them to do. Tonight we have a great speaker. He definitely is not a stranger to the panel. He's not a stranger to teaching Bible study. Young man, young family man. We got his wife on. She's part of our panel now. So he may take us to the mountaintop and leave us up there tonight. He may have a little extra motivation now that his wife is on the panel. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice you will hear will be our second administrative assistant at our church here at Praise Tabernacle Church, and that's done up there. Kevin Tobert. Our panel is here. I think we got everybody on tonight. That's Elder and Sister Oliver, Minister and Sister Tobert, of course, Sister Oglesby. My precious wife is on. I think we have Deacon Stanton on tonight. Okay, all right. I think that's everybody. So I'm excited about what we're going to hear. So let me just give a quick word of prayer, and then the next voice right here will be that Kevin Tobert. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for bringing us this point of the week, this Tuesday night Bible study. For the opportunity for us to dive into the Word. Your Word does declare, come now, let us reason together. And we just thank you for this opportunity to break bread in a spiritual manner with these your people. And we already know that something is going to be said that's going to enlighten us, that's going to encourage our hearts, that's going to also challenge us on tonight. And as we just get ready to enter into this study, We already pray and know that you're going to be glorified and magnified, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Minister Tobert, service is in your hands. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for opening everything. Thank you, saints that are listening and tuning in. Could be doing anything else, but you are listening tonight, and I just pray that everybody gets something on tonight. Pray that you get filled on tonight. And our scripture, we're going to be coming from John 8, verse 38. So John chapter 8, verse 38. This is where our topic comes from. And the word of the Lord reads, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And the Lord gave me for a topic, like father, like son. Amen. And just before we get into the scripture, I want to give a little bit of background, because in this scripture, Jesus begins, in the chapter, Jesus began this chapter in the Mount of Olives, and he went to the temple and dealt with the scribes and Pharisees catching someone in the act of adultery. This started a series of teaching and conversation, and Jesus begins to further explain who he is, because they didn't know who he really was. Fast forward to the current text in verse 31, where we'll be starting, he is still having to set the record straight, so to speak. So we are going to start from verse 31, and we're going to see what thus says the Lord and pray that everyone gets something on tonight. And the word reads, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus had just finished explaining that he has the support of his Father with him, with all that he does. Jesus continued to do the things that are pleasing unto him, meaning unto the Father. Now he addresses the Jews that believe what he was saying and tells them if they continue to abide in the word of the Lord, then they are his disciples. And disciples are simply followers of Christ. Disciples are simply Christians. Amen. But the key point in what Jesus was saying here is that you have to continually obey and continue to live according to his teachings. Jesus ain't teaching us nothing wrong. He will tell you exactly what the Father wants us to be doing. Also, Jesus will show us because he is just like his Father, and like Father, like Son. So in regards to verse 32, understanding his teachings will help you understand salvation and the truth of it. So acceptance of Christ means that you're set free from the penalty of sin at the end, meaning that we deserve it, but the Lord who didn't deserve it will take the punishment for free, and will take the punishment and you'll be set free. Amen. So that's a reason for us just to get excited to understand how salvation works and understand the truth of salvation. Now, even though we may understand this, but it's obvious that they didn't understand this because the word of God continues on and they continue to have a conversation about it. In verse 33, look at this. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And this verse shows the difference between their way of thinking and God's way of thinking. See, they got a little bit caught up in who they were, so much so that they missed the point. They reminded the Lord that they are Abraham's descendant and have never been in bondage or never been a slave. So they didn't understand or know what they needed to be free from. They needed to be set free from. See, they knew that they were not physical slaves or physically in bondage, but the Lord was trying to tell them that they are being spiritual slaves, that they are bonded spiritually. Then the Lord starts to use what they know and what they are so high on against them, because they are showing a level of arrogance on not being a slave that the Lord had to let them know. And he continues to let them know in verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Very, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. The Lord opens up by letting them know that by continually practicing sin, you're already a slave to sin, and it has become your master. Then he continues to further explain this in verse 35 by applying what they know as slaves. Remember when they talked about being in bondage? This is where Jesus talks about that a little bit further. Amen. And the servant or a slave does not live in the master's house forever, but the son does. See, the servant is a permanent part of the family, but the son is. In other words, sin will make you get outside of God's family. But the Son, who lives in God's family forever, has the power to set you free. And whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So whosoever Jesus sets free is free indeed. See, we got to understand that sin offers slavery, but Jesus offers freedom and salvation. And that's a reason for us to just to celebrate there, for us to be excited about that the Lord can give us salvation. And remember that these are seeds of Abraham, the people that he's talking to, right? So surely they should know something about salvation and how it works. But these scriptures prove more evidence and provide more evidence that they ain't even know what they're talking about. They don't even understand it. So it's not about what you know, but it's all about who you know. And I hope you know Jesus, because salvation comes from the Lord. Freedom comes from the Lord. The power over sin comes from the Lord. So we got to understand who we need to know. We need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus. And if they understood who he was, they wouldn't be in this predicament right now. I mean, I'm going to open the floor. Anybody got any comments on that?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Can hear you. It's a little distant, Pastor.
Oh, hold on. Let me try something else. What about now? Is that a little bit better?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, like I told y'all, I'm out here going up this mountain, but, man, you pushing me on up. Just one brief comment based on what you said, how pretty much they were arrogant, saying that they was Abraham, they was never in slavery, they was born free. And it's funny how when we are arrogant, we forget stuff. When we're prideful, we forget stuff that we have done. When we have that prideful spirit, we forget the dirt and the mess that we have been in. Now, when they said that, they spoke it arrogantly, but it was a lie. They was in slavery several times. They was in slavery in Egypt. They were in slavery in Babylon. They were in slavery with the Philistines. They was under Roman bondage. So they was saying it arrogantly, but not really confessing the whole truth, because they had been in slavery for years. They had been in slavery for hundreds of years. But because they're trying to prove their point to Christ, as if, you know, they was talking to him like he really didn't know the history of what the, you know, what they had been through. Because we'll see, and I ain't going to jump before you, but we'll see in a minute how they called him something like, how in the world y'all get to calling Jesus this or whatever? But I'm not going to go there. I know you'll get there, but, man, you, God, come on, bro. You helping me tonight. Go ahead.
Oh, no, thank you for that comment. Thank you for putting everything back into perspective, because just like you said, to piggyback off of that, you know, thinking about the boldness to be able to come to Christ and say certain things out of your mouth, and like you said, that's one level of disrespect. Then they even get more disrespectful. So we got to learn from this and understand that, man, you can't get over on God. God already knows who you are. He already knows your past. He knows your present and your future. So why would we be arrogant enough or bold enough to even try something like that? But see, that's the issue with the flesh. And we all have in flesh, have you messed up. Because like we say, the flesh is a mess. And as we can see, they are clearly in the flesh. And if they were spiritual, they wouldn't even come at Jesus like that. They will understand the assignment, and they don't. But because of the flesh, they're in this predicament. Anybody else got a comment before we go forward?
Minister Tobin, I have a comment.
Okay.
It's funny because I don't know where the big lie, little lie came from, or the big sin versus little sin stuff came from. But I guess that's a part of us being in our flesh, because we say anything to try to make things sound good, feel good, or justify our actions just so that it won't be as bad. But because the Lord's sin is sin. And since we're talking about it, verse 8 and 34 really stuck out to me so far. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." So we're talking about a servant, a person that is devoted, that's helpful, and for Christians, we are devoted, helpful followers of Christ. But God, in this text, Jesus speaks on the people that are servants of sin. So it's the flip side of it. He's talking about, in this instance, the people that are turned over to sin, that are servants of sin, that are devoted to sin. And how can you be devoted to sinning? So sin can take a hold of you. It'll take over your life if you're not careful. Repeated sin will make you stop seeing your wrongdoing. So if you get to the point where you're not feeling convicted anymore, you really have a problem. That's why it's important for us to read our word so that we can know what we're supposed to do. The Bible is the blueprint. It doesn't bother me or make me upset, but it makes me appreciative when someone speaks on heaven versus hell, because I understand the magnitude of why it's so important to know the right and the wrong as a Christian, because everybody's walk is different, but at the end of the day, we all have the same goal. So just a couple of examples, because the Bible talks about sin in various scriptures, like it's throughout the Bible, and hell is throughout the Bible. One in particular that sticks out is Luke 16, Lazarus and the rich man, which I'm sure everybody knows very well, because it's very, very graphic, and it speaks to us, and it tells us what happens when the rich man went to hell. Then there's Matthew 5, 29 and 30, where it talks about plucking out the right eye. And it's basically saying that it's better to lose a body part than to burn in hell. And if you want to go even further, there's Revelation 3 and 16 that talks about being lukewarm, not being hot or cold for the Lord. And he says that I will spew thee out of my mouth. So the Lord lets you know, plain as day, what is and isn't acceptable. He lets you know what he expects from us. So it's just up to the individuals to, you know, turn from sin, repent, and just read their Bible so that they could get more into their hearts and minds and into their spirit, so that we could make sure as much as possible that we're operating the way that the Lord would want for us to.
Amen, amen. From those of y'all that don't know, that's my wife. I'm so glad that my wife, Sister Tobert, gave a comment.
Yeah.
and she actually put that thing into perspective. And I thank you for you stepping out of your comfort zone on tonight and being able to give a word unto God's people that was very needed and necessary, because you put salvation into a perspective, not only in a Bible sense, but something that we can recognize currently. And thank you for your comment, because that was a blessing to me, and I'm sure it was a blessing to others. Thank you so much. And thank you, Pastor, also for your comment. And we're definitely on the right track here. Thank you all so much for your commentary. And at any other point, if anybody else want to get in, you can. If not, I'm going to go ahead and continue. But thank you all so much. Amen.
Hey, this is Deacon Stan. How you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm good.
All right. I'd like to go to verse 33, where they say, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou?" And Jesus replied, "Ye shall be made free." In 33, Jesus is talking about a different kind of free. They're talking about free on earth. He's talking about eternal life. And then if you go to Abraham was going to sacrifice his only son because of his faith and obedience. So really, they're not imitating their father, which is Abraham. And if you go to 39, it kind of backs up that. It says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Deacon Stanton. Thank you for that comment. And like we say, you know, they definitely were missing the point on what Jesus was talking about. And I
right.
know you got to it, and we'll definitely dig that out as well on what they were thinking versus what Jesus was talking about. So you're all the way on point. Thank you for your comment as well. Because, like you say, they get to feeling themselves in here, and this is where they are, we don't want to be. We don't ever want to get that comfortable to where we're feeling ourselves, to where we get to getting to a sense of arrogance. We don't ever want to be arrogant in who we are, and especially to the point where we're arrogant and we're liars, and we'll see where that goes as well. So we just want to learn from this to be able to know how we should be as Christians and understand what we shouldn't do. Sometimes we learn, you know, from people not doing the right thing, and we learn what not to do, not to be like that, you know, and we got to be more Christ-like. So we got to follow the example of Christ. So thank you so much, Deacon Stanton. And we're going to go on to verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word have no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And now that's our topic text right there. That's the text for the topic. That's exactly where we get like father, like son from. And in this, Jesus begins to call out ones who he's talking to, because he knows that they are of the seed of Abraham, but they don't act like it. The same way some folks do in church now. They claim to be saved, they claim to go to church, but they don't even act like it. So the word of the Lord has no place in them. There is no true connection with God. The same ones that are supposed to already know who he is wants to destroy who he is, and that don't make any sense. All because he is speaking and doing the will of the Father. The Lord says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. The Lord speaks the truth, and like Father, like Son. The Jews and the scribes and the Pharisees are just like their Father also, like Father, like Son. But the question is, who is their Father? They continue to say that Abraham is their father, and they are of the seed of Abraham. But what says the Lord? And we're going to find out. Verse 39 on down. And answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's seed, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. Ye do the works of your father, the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So Jesus is making it clear that they are not acting like what they claim to be. Amen. And the evidence is in their action. They don't act like they have a connection with God because they seek to kill his son. Abraham would never do this. Abraham would never approve of this. So this is nothing like Abraham, and they're claiming to be of Abraham. But because they don't truly know who their father is, they're lost. They are so lost that they would rather destroy the truth to uphold a lie. And you got to be real lost to do something like that. Jesus is the truth, and the devil is a lie. Only the devil would want to kill Jesus. They got everything twisted on what they're talking about. They got everything twisted. If we look at verse 41, we see that when even that when they began to claim that God is their father, now they want to have the nerve to put themselves as if they're in that same family. Now, this is when the Lord has just had enough. He had enough because now they claim to be on the same side, but their actions speak louder than their words. They're not showing that they're on the same side of God. They're not showing that they are of the same family tree of God. So if you're saying that you're on God's side, then surely you should recognize who God's son is. That doesn't make sense if you're going to say that you that we have one father, even God. So you're saying and recognizing that you know who God is, but on the contrary, you don't know who Jesus is. It doesn't make sense because the Father, they're one and the same, like Father, like Son. So we can't sit here and try to act like we don't know who Jesus is. That doesn't make sense. If you have that connection with God, then you already know who his son is. And they're sitting here talking to his son, not even realizing, not even recognizing who he is. That's how you know that they completely got it twisted. That's how you know that they didn't understand the assignment. That's how you know that they completely missed the point because they had no idea who they were really talking to at that moment. And before I get any further, I'm going to go ahead and turn it to Pastor for a second. Pastor, if you hear me. Hey, man, well, Elder Oliver, are you on?
I'm right here, Doc.
Hey, man. So I'm gonna take the quick break. If we got the quick break, about, you know, 2 minutes away from it, but I don't want to get too far ahead because once we get to the next part in the scripture, you know, we don't want to take the break too far.
Well, we got you, Doc.
Yes, sir. So, Elder Oliver, if you don't mind, if you could take the break. I don't know. I know Pastor said that he was up the mountain. Do you have the information ready?
Yeah, we have him. I think we got the pastor back. Can you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear y'all. Can y'all hear me?
Yes,
we got
sir.
You.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take a little pause right here. All right. We're here at the midway point. Spiritually and physically for me at the midway point up this mountain, we want to give you the opportunity on tonight to sow a seed of whatever the Lord lays on your heart, as we did last Tuesday night during Bible study. We want to give you the extended arms information for those of you that would like to give a donation to Extended Arms, and we're going to give you our local church information for those that would like to do a Tuesday night offering to the church. Extended Arms Cash App information is $EA Ministry. Once again, that's $EA Ministry, and that goes to our community outreach, assisting the families, not just in our local church, but in our community. And I just want to thank y'all, those that have been supporting financially the Extended Arms Ministry, as well as those that have been donating. So tonight, if you would like to give whatever amount is, whatever the Lord lays on your heart to the Extended Arms Ministry, that information, once again, is $EA Ministry, and those that would like to give to our local church in support of that ministry, you can do so by $PTC877. Once again, that is $PTC877. $PTC, which stands for Praise Tabernacle Church, 877. And may the Lord bless you real good, those that are on the panel. If you have any donation on tonight, feel free to give. Those that are listening, I'm going to do a little something to both. That's what I did on last week. I'm going to give a little donation to the church and also to Extended Arms. So those of you that can, as the Lord leads you, as said, if you're able to do the same. May God bless you real good. And the service is back into the hands of Minister Kevin Tober. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, man. Thank you, Pastor. Thanks for, like you're saying, those that were listening. That was a break, and I just wanted to get the break out before I got any further, because I felt myself going, you know, to the next level, so to speak. So before I had, you know, got there, I was like, let me go on and take the break now versus on the other side of this. Any comments at this point? I know everyone that's listening, hopefully you all are enjoying what you're hearing right now. And at this time, at the panel, if you have anything, this is perfect time to say what's on your heart, if you got something to say to add to the scriptures.
Hey, Minister Tobert, real quick. Hey, man, you actually cooking tonight. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy. I enjoyed all the comments, but you are definitely cooking tonight. So I am learning a lot, and that's all I'm going to say right now. I'm going to get on off and turn it back over to you.
Man, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Saints, I believe I left off at 41, so I'm going to continue. I'm going to pick up from 41 down to 42. So 41 says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now this is where it get real now. Let's look at verse 42 and going down. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he was speaking a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus let it be known that when it comes down to the Pharisees and who he's talking to, that if we share the same father, then you would love me. How can you love the father and hate the son? It don't work like that. They are one. They are on the same accord. So like father, like son. You can't love the father and hate the son. So on the contrary, the scribes and Pharisees are like their father, the devil. Like the saying goes, the devil is a liar. And Jesus says that he is the father of it. To me, this also shows that some of the church folks ain't going to get it right because their father is the devil. And I know that may be tough for some people to hear, but it's in the scripture. It's in the word. When they talk about the scribes and the Pharisees, those are the church folks that should already know what they should be doing, but they do things under their own agenda. They have their own agenda. They have a hidden agenda. So that's exactly who we're talking about in today's text. When we're talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and some of those people are the same ones that you came around, that's some of the church folks. Saints, we have to make sure that we are being like our father. And the best way that we could be like our father is to be like the son, which is Jesus. Remember, like father, like son. So we don't have to be like the Pharisees and be like the scribes, for their father is the devil. So we got to realize who we are supposed to be. We got to realize who we are and whose we are. And as long as we know that, then we'll be all right. See, we got to understand that when it comes down to those wannabe saints, Those are the ones that he's talking about. Those are the ones that we're talking about that don't have a connection with him because their father is the devil. They can claim to be on the same side, but your actions speak louder than the words. So at the end of the day, you have to continually, that's why he said that earlier, you got to continue to abide in Christ. You got to continue to be on the same page as Christ. You can't pick it up and set it down when you want to. You got to be on the same page and be more Christ-like. Remember, like Father, like Son. So the more that we are like the Son, then the more that we're like the Father because they're on the same page. Any comments on that before we go forward? Amen.
Amen. I'll make a comment. Hey, can you hear me?
We sure can. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening. This message is just blessing my soul. Thank you so much for this word, Mr. Tolbert. But that topic just stands out. It's amazing. And like you said, how can you can't love the Father. It's no way that you can love God and not love his Son. And as the scripture says, that's the only way you're going to get to him is through Jesus. Amen. So this is definitely blessing me. I've written down so many notes. And one thing you said, a lot of things that you said that stood out, even speaking about sin and how God, Christ is just so amazing. But something that I wrote down when I was studying this, it said Christ refutes this claim on the basis that they did not love him. So their lack of spiritual understanding was attributed to the fact that they, as it says in scripture, they cannot hear my word. They could not because they had totally rejected him. And think about it, even in life, when someone has just totally got their opinion of you, they have rejected you, they have, as I think Elder Oliver had spoke about this on last week, you know, when he gave the example of Sister Oglesby, like they may look at you and they may just see a teacher or certain things that people have, you know, whatever their thoughts are about you. So they will reject you. And if someone rejects you, they're not wanting to hear absolutely nothing that you're saying. Even us that's listening or that have been through some things or somebody that's listening and you feel like, you know, yeah, well, God, he didn't answer my prayers or, you know, well, the Lord should know my heart or he should take this away from me. He knows I don't want to do this blase daze, but you reject him because you don't know him. Ooh, I felt that. You reject him because you do not know him. And that's when the sin comes in to where now you have turned your back against him. But that's all I'm going to say. This is good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tolbert.
Thank you so much, First Lady. Thank you for that comment. And I agree with what you're saying. People reject what they don't know. People reject what they don't understand. See, they didn't have a true understanding of God. They didn't have a true understanding of how everything works within Christianity because they understood who they were as far as being in the Abraham seed, but they didn't understand what that truly entailed. They didn't understand the true connection that you're supposed to have with God. See, when you are supposed to be in a position, for example, if you know that you're supposed to be, let's use this as an example. If you know that you're supposed to be of a certain title or anything, then we're expecting you to have that true connection with God. Imagine if the same ones that had the title realize that they are so high and mighty on a title, get caught up in that, but they truly have no connection with God because you focus more on having a title and the importance of that arrogance than having the connection with God. That's why when the Lord talks about at those times when he talked about depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you, who you think he was talking to? He was talking to those that think that they had it together, those that thought that they had a connection, knowing that they didn't, knowing that these were some of the people that were in that example, the scribes, the Pharisees, and let's throw in, of course, the church folks. He's talking about church folks. So if you don't have a connection with God, you're going to be separated. you think that you got a connection because you held on to the wrong thing. You holding on to a title, and in this case, in this text, they holding on to the fact that they have a Abraham's seed, but they're liars. Like Pastor pointed out, they talking about different things that they know from not being in bondage, but you're liars, and you're lying to God. And when you lying to God, you lying to yourself, because who you think you fooling? God knows who you are. God understands exactly who you are supposed to be and who you are. And those things sometimes don't match. Sometimes what we proclaim to be don't match who we really are. There's a battle between the perception and the reality. The perception is we think that you got it all together. The reality is you couldn't be closer, you couldn't be further from it. You know, you're not close to who you say that you are. So we got to be careful of people like that. So we got to know that we have to have a good example. So lean into a good example. So that's why it's so important to follow after the Son, which is Jesus Christ. Because like I said, if we're going to be like him, we're going to be more Christ-like. So then we're just like the Father because we're just like the Son. Again, like Father, like Son. Thank you for that comment, First Lady. And I don't know if anybody else is going to say anything. If so, now's the time. If not, I'm going for it. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, ye do not believe me. Why do ye not believe me? He that is of God hear of God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So it was hard for them to accept the truth from Jesus because they were from a lying devil. See, they had no connection with God. They didn't understand it. So that's why they were not understanding or accepting the truth. If the devil doesn't accept the truth, then those that are of the devil won't accept it either. Why? Because like Father, like Son. So they're being more like their father, the devil. So those are his children. This explains why we may have a hard time with so many folks that we know and so many folks that we come across, and everybody can't handle the truth. Amen. So Jesus only speaks the truth. So sometimes we may have some issues with some folks because of who their father is. So that's sometimes the reason for that issue. And Jesus, he also, plain and simple, if we look at verse 47, not going to reread it, but if we look at verse 47, he that is of God hears God's words, and those that don't are not of God, so to speak. So saints of God, we got to make sure that we are hearers and doers of the word of God. Make sure that we have the true connection with God. Make sure that we are on point with what we're saying. Make sure that our words match up with our actions. Make sure that we are on point. So we have to check ourselves when we go across these scriptures. Make sure that we're not looking like the scribes and the Pharisees. Make sure that we're looking like Jesus. Verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. Look at that word now. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, when we look at verse 48, they were being completely disrespectful to Jesus. First, they called him a Samaritan. And at this time, the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. They were like considered like dogs. Then they got extremely disrespectful and called him a devil. But this is exactly how some of your own folks would do you sometimes. Sometimes some of the folks that we think should know and understand you and have a connection with you will run their mouth about you. and will put something on you that ain't, that you don't even deserve to have. Jesus didn't deserve to have that put on him by them saying out of their mouth that he has a devil. That's a lie from the devil himself. So if we look at it, how can you say out of your mouth that you have a connection with God the Father, but you disrespecting the Son? It don't work like that. You can't sit here and say that you love the Lord, you love God, but you're saying something hateful and disrespectful to Jesus. It don't work like that. Those are contrary to the that's contrary to what you're saying. Your actions are contrary to your belief at that point. So if we have to say these different things, and you know, you're not one of Christ, you're not one of his. He say, my sheep know my voice. Obviously, y'all don't know the voice of the Lord. Obviously, y'all don't know who y'all speaking to. Otherwise, you would have never said anything like that. So we got to check ourselves and make sure that we're not being disrespectful. Make sure that we're not saying things that we're not supposed to be saying. And also, like I said, as an example, sometimes some of these people around you will be the same ones, just like these scribes and Pharisees, that's going to say something a little out of the way. We ain't the first people. It actually happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus first. So the way that in our lives, your family, your cousin, your mama sometimes will say something about you, it happened to Jesus. So who are we? You know, so some of these same things can happen to us. Amen. But when it comes down to the scribes and the Pharisees, somehow they missed the assignment as believers. See, we're supposed to glorify his name, not attempt to destroy his name. Saints, make sure that at the end of the day, we all understand the assignment. And the assignment, like I said, is to glorify his name. We can't get fooled and we can't get distracted by the devil and his trick. If we remain vigilant, we won't be distracted. We have to be aware of the things that's going on around us and the traps that are laid out by the enemy. Also, verse 51 points out how there is how their choice, the scribes and the Pharisees, had a choice, and they made a choice to reject Jesus at the end will cost them, because they'll be dying in their sin. But for those who will keep the word of the Lord, which shows acceptance, will never see death, meaning the spiritual death, meaning the death of the spirit as in hell. So, of course, there's benefits to being a Christian and choosing the Lord. And that's one of them right there. Saints, we always have to remember that our goal is to be more Christ-like, because he is like the Father. Therefore, if we're like Jesus, amen, then we're like the Father, because Jesus is like the Father, and like Father, like Son. And that's it for me. I'm going to go ahead and open up the floor for comments. But if anyone wants to have any final comments, but that is it for me. I hope y'all got something from the lesson.
Yes, I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
Can everybody hear me? Because I'm in a store.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say that if they had known the Father, if they had truly known who he was and who they were and known what he could do for them, how he could lead them, because you never know. You never know. Like today at school, we were having a lesson, and it was don't judge a book by its cover. And they judged him, because they looked at him, you know, not with spiritual eyes, but they looked at him, you know, in the flesh. And as I said before, if they had known the Father, and I use my father, who passed last year, as an example, to me, he was just daddy. And to me, you know, I didn't know all the stuff that I found out about him. I didn't know he was in the military. I didn't know that. When they took a picture, of like all of the African American military people. I think he was in the army, and to see that big picture and all those people, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, you know, he had so much that he had, you know, gone to the military and you know, because I knew that he knew how to get around and he could tell me, oh, you take this road and go here and go there without looking at a map. And I always wondered to myself, how does he know all of that? But he had been traveling all over and he knew this. So my eyes were open as to who my dad was when he passed. And it's a shame that their eyes weren't open. They didn't see who God truly is. And, I mean, even today, you have got to get to know God. You got to know who he is. You got to get close to him. You got to spend time with him to know, you know, we don't know everything about him, but we're learning. And once we do know, it's like that comfort. When things happen, you know daddy going to be right there. You know, when you go through good, bad, whatever, daddy is right there. So it's a shame that they missed out on that, but getting to know God is a good thing. That's it.
That's right. Thank you for that comment. Any other comment?
Hey, Minister Tolbert, great lesson, man. Great lesson. I hope you preach this one day. It felt like you wanted to preach right now, but I'm going to get with my comment. You know, it says when you were teaching, if the word abide inside you, there's going to be a transformation of a change that comes out on the outside. And what they didn't have the word on the inside. So if you don't have the word on the inside, you're not going to recognize who the Son is. You may think you know the Father, but you won't recognize the Son if you don't have the word on the inside. Because if you got the word on the inside, it's going to create a change that's going to slowly happen on the outside so you'll be able to see. And a lot of people, and I know you were talking about people that's in the church who don't even know who they don't even know who Jesus is because they don't even know God's word. And if you don't know God's word, you won't never be able to recognize his Son. And I believe First Lady was talking about you can't get to God unless you go through the Son. So you got to have God's word on the inside. So hopefully people getting the word on the inside so they can recognize who the Son really is. And that's all I got to say, man. That was a great lesson. Great lesson.
Hey, man, thank you so much, Elder Oliver, for that comment. And like you said, man, it's a lot to be able to unpack from those scriptures. And thank you all for all those comments because each comment connected the dots and filled in some other gaps and also allowed us to get a better understanding of what thus says the Lord throughout these scriptures. And I definitely just hope that someone got something, you know, between the lesson and the commentary, someone should have got something. And like I said, that was it for me.
Can I make a comment? I don't know.
Yeah, anybody? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if I was unmuted. What I want to say about the lesson, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all of the comments. So I appreciate everybody's input. And what I took from this is that our spiritual relationship matters more than anything. So as children of God, if we're obedient to the Lord, we're going to keep his commandments. And you can only keep his commandments and be obedient if you are his child. And in order to be his child, you got to hear his voice. So if you're not following along those lines and you're just worried about a natural connection and not a spiritual connection, you're going to be doomed. So I appreciate you on tonight, and thank y'all for this lesson.
Thank you so much. Again, another beautiful comment. Another beautiful comment that's on point to be able to help us get an even better understanding. And like I said, just thank you all for helping making this lesson easy. All the support of the panel. The panel did a great job, in my opinion, definitely helping to get this thing over the hump. And at this point, like I say, Pastor, are you on? Elder Oliver, are you on? Do we have Pastor?
Yes, I thought he was on. It's saying that he's on, but he probably can't hear us.
Okay.
Or we can't hear
him. Can y'all hear me now?
Yes,
we
sir.
Got you.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Man, I tell you what, y'all worked me on up that mountain, and I got to the top and didn't get much signal, and I feel the Lord spoke to me and said, the higher you go, the more weight drop off. So the higher you go, the less the signal was. So with that word tonight, I tell you what, I feel that we all done got higher and got a little lighter and feel like going on a little bit farther. So Minister Tober, excellent job. Panel, excellent, excellent job. Y'all make me look good, make me sound good, make me seem like I know a little bit about what we're trying to do. So thank y'all so much. Thank you so much. All right, all right. Once again, this has been our Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. If you're ever in the area, in the Lawrenceville area, we are located at 199 East Krogan Street, Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046, Suite A. Amen. And we'll be back on Sunday morning. Meet us at 9 o'clock, same number. For those that are going to be tuning in through Blog Talk, same number, Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And we'll be back. This will be our third Sunday service celebration. Our children will be going forth, and my precious wife, as always, every third Sunday, she'll be delivering the Word of God. And we're just looking to have a great time. God is doing such a marvelous thing in our sight and in our congregation. He's sending new people. He's sending, as we always say, the harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. So we thank God for those that are laboring with us at Praise Tabernacle Church and those that are laboring with us to bring in the harvest that God will have for our local assembly. And may God bless you real good. We pray that you have a great week. And we'll say our final prayer and we'll give the benediction. Father, we just thank you. We appreciate you for another Tuesday night Bible study. And we do hear what the teacher taught on tonight, like father, like son, which gives us to know that we must make a decision. Are we going to attributes of you, or are we going to have attributes of the devil? Can't have both. And God, we just thank you and we appreciate you as we leave this place, but never your presence. Matthew 28:19-20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. God bless you and good night.